much, feel too little. More the machinery, we need humanity.
We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy.
Ireland, the great and powerful Oz, knows why you have come.
You gotta say, I'm a human being. God damn it! My life has value!
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature!
Don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men, with machine minds and machine hearts.
Jason Hermes.
And who loves you, and who do you love?
Good morning, everybody. It is Reality Rants. I am Jason Hermes. This is Red Voice Media. And remember, you can get the second hour exclusively, at least the video, over at redvoicemedia.com/Jason. This is America. And today, although we are going to have our usual raucous amount of clips, probably going to end up doing a watch-along with the case for population control with Paul Ehrlich, 1970 documentary, which, again, there are times where it's very bland, but it lets you know even then what the agenda was. You're bad. You're a human. We need to save the earth. We're ruining the earth. Oh, humans are bad for the earth. And Ehrlich is also the author, I believe with his wife, of The Population Bomb, which is now more than 50 years old. And, you know, it's this idea that we have to restrict human life. And there's a lot of talk back then about birth control in particular, because you go back 50 plus years and that's still a controversial issue. And look, I've never beat my chest about women, you know, not being able to take birth control. I've never made abortion the issue here. Another thing that I don't really talk about too much is the border and migration in a lot of cases. We're going to talk about all of those things today, okay? And you might like what I have to say. You might not like what I have to say. Hopefully, we can have the discussion. But before that, I mean, there are several things about America that I really want to hit on, okay? And the first thing, I thought that I'd start the show with the absurdity of America, and in particular, the Waffle House. Yes, the Waffle House. Now, if you've never eaten at a Waffle House, I'm not going to say count your lucky stars, because, hey, they can make a mean waffle and hash browns, no doubt about it. And to their credit, they were one of the few places that while I was traveling the country, I was able to actually go sit down and eat while everything was under lockdown. And I enjoyed myself, even though they had the stupid barriers up and the plexiglass and everybody was playing around with the Johnny nonsense. Okay, whatever. But if you want to see a good old-fashioned American brawl, okay, you can always count on a Waffle House. This isn't an isolated incident. So let's turn the volume down on this thing. You know, yes, that woman just had a chair thrown at her head, because that's how people act, all right? That's how people act at a Waffle House. This guy's trying to stop everything. You know, he doesn't want the Johnny nonsense to go any further. But it's a circus show. And this is our culture. World star. World star, yo. And this woman, watch, she, in my opinion, is going to get what she deserves after she hurls, you know, a chair at somebody. It's like you just hurled a chair at somebody's face in a kitchen. Honestly, what she deserved was not only to slip, fall, and then get beaten like this, but she deserved to smack her head on the oven and get a nice burn mark and welt on her head. Look at this stuff. This is America. This is the culture. You wonder why we can't come together against tyranny. You wonder why the Uniparty is in control, because this is exactly what they want for the general populace. They want a celebritard culture of total and complete narcissism, okay, and unaccountability. Think about this. That woman should have been charged with assault, period, right out of the gates. Yeah, you threw a chair at somebody in their face at their workplace, whether you liked your food or your service or not. I'm sorry, your $5 to $10 waffle was not worth the charges. And look, not isolated at all, especially during the holidays. You know, I'm here in Virginia, and I can already think of two incidents that I've seen, okay, two, in the last week that were absurd and obscene. They didn't get to a physical altercation, but my God, people are out of it, man. And it's by design. They've either been undereducated or miseducated. And then the culture that's been pushed upon them is one of complete selfishness. Complete and total selfishness. So the two incidents I want to talk about, let's go back to a few days before Christmas. I think it was like 2 or 3 days before Christmas. I go to this mall. I think I've already mentioned it on the program if you've been listening. And I'm sitting there in the mall. My girlfriend is with her daughter in line for Santa Claus. And we're talking. She sat there for an hour plus. Okay, about an hour and 10 minutes to get a picture so we could pay $50, okay, $50+ for the pictures they print out, whether or not you buy them. So they show them to you because it doesn't really cost them that much money. Probably cost them $1 or $2, right? Huge markup. Forget about 50, 60%. After all is said and done and all those people go through there and they had reservations on this one, I'd say about an 80% markup, okay? So we wait, we get the picture, all that other stuff. I wasn't in line. So there was, I think it was like a TJ Maxx that was like right next to the setting. So I go into TJ Maxx, it's packed. The whole mall, honestly, is packed. And I can assure you, that's not what I've seen in the rest of the country at all. In fact, I've seen the death of mall culture in a lot of places. For instance, the last time I was at my old stomping grounds in New York, and we're going to be talking about New York today. Crossgates Mall, Albany, huge mall, a ghost town. They've turned it into a bowling alley and a comedy club, and there's more restaurants and less stores than ever because no one's in there. It's more of an entertainment venue than a shopping venue because of all the online stuff, okay? But going back to being at the mall before Christmas, there's a long line, okay, and no doubt about it. A lot of people in line to go get stuff. Expect it. You waited till 2-3 days before Christmas to go shopping. I don't know what you thought. This woman's in line, and she just starts berating. And I mean, she's like in line, like a long line. She starts berating one of the girls at the register, and the girl at the register is being super polite. She's like, ma'am, I'm sorry, we have this line. She goes, we have another line of registers in the back of the store, and that line may not be as bad as this one. And it just so happened, actually, that while this was going on, and I could hear, because this woman just kept going, I could see all the way to the other side of the store, and this Young lady was right. There's almost nobody in the line in the back because it's not, you know, directly connected to the mall. And there instead is, you know, connected to outside. So unless you park there, you're usually probably not going or you're done shopping, et cetera. She didn't care. She didn't. I'm here now. I'm here now. So what did you think you were going to do? You're so special. You're so entitled that you're just going to cut everybody else and they're going to take care of you. You don't have to wait. You're better than anyone else. My God. And then, I think it was 2 days after Christmas. What, we're on the 29th? Yeah, 2 days after Christmas, because I tried to stay in for the most part the day after Christmas, knowing there's just going to be a multitude of people everywhere returning things, getting the essentials that they missed out on the day before, etc. And I'm sitting there, okay? I walk into a dollar store, the Dollar Tree. It's not the dollar store anymore because of inflation. Everything's $1.25. Okay, but inflation is transitory. If anything lets you know, there wasn't an 8% markup via inflation. Bare minimum 25%. Bare minimum 25%. And then locally, depending on where you're at, prices are crazy here. I am not a fan of being around here. I'm very happy to be in Iowa and in an exodus from New York State. I'm trying to get toilet paper. Usually I go get like the 28 pack and it's around $30 after taxes, right? You're paying a dollar a roll, even when you're buying in bulk. Not here. It's $20 for 12 rolls. It's like $1.50, $1.60 a roll of toilet paper. Talk about a markup. So I'm in the dollar store and this, I don't even know what happened. I'm just hearing this woman who had to let everybody in the store know that she was upset. There wasn't a lot of people there, but just on the phone talking about how she makes too much money for this and that. You make too much money to be in the dollar store? Listen, I'm Thrifty McSimmons. I was over there getting a glass case or a glass screen protector for my girlfriend's iPhone. Well, little tip from Jason Burmis. You don't even have to spend $5-6 online at Amazon. You get those things for $1.25. You got an iDevice or like a popular Samsung device. And they work just as well. Same exact ones they sell everywhere else. So I was there for a couple items. The entire time I was there, this person is on a tirade. And I'm looking at the guy at the register. And he's sitting there with his hands in his head. He doesn't know what to do. I have no idea who this woman is on the phone with, but it is a long, long conversation of total and complete self-absorption. And then all of a sudden I hear, well, I just want my $15 back. You're sitting here doing that for under $20? You're sitting there doing that for under $20. Wow. But you make too much money for this. People are gone, man. They're out of it. And the people at the top have designed things this way. That's the shit you get on Instagram. That's the shit you get on TikTok. That's how you go viral. You let everybody know how tough you are. So I got a multitude of stories that we're going to be going over here in Reality Rants. That was a nice little opening rant of 10 plus minutes. On a Waffle House video. I guess that's what we do here. There are three videos, they're really short, one after another, that to me help explain the situation we're in. One of them is going to have some coarse language, but they're going to integrate with several of the stories that we're going to discuss here today, including, although this might not relate directly, Putin going ham out in the Ukraine, okay? But again, it's the culture here that has allowed what you're reading rains down 120 missiles in Ukraine. What do you mean, Jason? How's that got to do with America? Because if we weren't so damn ignorant and we didn't allow our military-industrial complex to openly fund this, okay, to have covert operations in Ukraine, For years and years and years to coup them in 2014, Putin would have ran through Zelensky. Let me assure you of that. Hey, that conflict would have lasted 6 weeks tops if we weren't involved. Tops. Maybe less. You would have saw that little puppet over there, like that, like, you know, the 5-1 Rambo.
The five, Voldemort, the Zelensky.
You would have seen him in cuffs or in a box, period. If we weren't involved, there's no doubt about that. It's not even close. Okay, guys, we're the ones running that war, and the Waffle House crew has no clue. They can't point to Ukraine on a map. They couldn't tell you that Ukraine borders Russia. They couldn't show you that. They have no idea. They're checked out. All right. They're totally gone. And it's because we are not an educated populace. And we have been taken hold by a predator class that is using science, right? Science and Bernaysian talking points to control populations. When I say science, I actually do mean science. The science of war, all right? The science of munitions, the science of drones, the science of satellites. That's the real deal Holyfield. Believe it. So first clip we're going to go to is a 90-second or so cut of the now infamous military-industrial complex speech by Eisenhower, where he was giving us a warning. He was giving the American people the warning that, hey, things are getting out of control. You have to be vigilant. You have to be educated. And you have to stand up to these people, of which we as a society have totally failed. Totally and completely failed. So let's go to Eisenhower right now.
Whether foreign or domestic, great or small, there is a recurring temptation to feel that some spectacular and costly action could become the miraculous solution to all current difficulties.
And how often do we get that? Think about what we talked about yesterday, that technology is going to make everything better. You're going to work 30 hours a week. You're going to have month-long vacations. You're going to have access to everything. We've got the solution. And when I say we, it's always the government coming out. And the government more and more are outwardly partnering with the billionaires and their agenda, right? Just like the carbon credit system is going to be the miraculous savior of the planet. No, it's not. They have told you time and time again that it is the human being that is the problem. Okay? The human being is destroying nature. The human being is destroying the earth. The human being must be regulated.
The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual.
Even spiritual. And I'm never sit here and beat my chest about God and religion. Do your thing. I happen to be agnostic at best. I happen to believe that there is a higher power. You know, what that is, you know, I don't think it's a he or a she. I don't think it's a man with a beard and a cloud or any of that. All right. I think it is literally the force and not in some new age manner. It is the life force on the planet that binds us and regulates us and drives us to be moral, loving creatures in the majority of instances, the vast majority of instances. That's our drive. But we also have free will, something that's talked about in, you know, the major religious texts. So with that free will comes responsibility. All right. But again, so many people no longer feel that they're responsible for anything. The only thing that they're responsible for, it's not their failures. It's not their questionable actions. No. It's only their success story. It's only how many likes they get. You get it? That's the reality.
Is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
And did persist. And continued and grew and became more and more powerful to the point where after Eisenhower, I'm not sure another president used the term military-industrial complex until Trump. And Trump actually said, hey, yeah, no, there is a military-industrial complex. Find me the Barack star talking about the military-industrial complex. Find me George Bush Jr. or Dick Cheney talking about the military-industrial complex. Find me Pappy Bush talking about the military-industrial complex. Please, I'd love to see it. I will eat my words. Who knows? Maybe they did talk about it, but they espoused it like Steny Hoyer recently did when he's talking about the deep state and how great they are and how they're a part of our constitutional republic. I'm sitting there last night watching Fox News with my girlfriend, and one of the pundits sits there. It was a guest. It wasn't the host. He says, we don't live in a constitutional republic anymore. Okay, we don't. And he's right. A constitutional republic has checks and balances. It adheres to the balances that they put into place to put the executive in check, okay, to put the judicial in check, and even, yes, the legislative. Instead, now we have a Department of Justice using lawfare against the American people and political candidates they don't like, including a president. I mean, that should tell you all you need to know about Trump. Not perfect. I was doing an interview, I believe it was with Trevor Loudon yesterday, American Media Periscope, hosted all week over there, over at Making Sense of the Madness. And we were kind of discussing these aspects, okay? We were talking about not only nation states, but the things that have gone beyond nation states. And we were talking about these apparatuses out there that are constantly being utilized against the people. And look, none of us think, you know, at least in retrospect, that are paying attention, that the guy knows how to hire. He doesn't. Let me get that out of the way. I don't think Trump knows how to hire. And I don't think that he was able to achieve what he could have had he had an administration that was behind him. Had he actually challenged the military-industrial complex, which was openly working against him. Millie should have not only been fired, okay? He should have been investigated and more than likely brought up on charges of treason. Instead, it's the flip, all right? Trump, very imperfect, banned on social media, unable to do anything about the 2020 election, not a damn thing. And then the meetings he had with others discussing what he might be able to do have been demonized to such an extent that people that already had the TDS, they'll never, ever, ever, ever look into the fact it's not just the presidential election of 2020. It's not just the midterms here. We have a corrupt and broken system to elect our leaders purposely. Purposely. It's not a mistake. These people love the fact that there are no audits. They love the fact that multi-billion dollar corporations run the machines that count the votes. Okay? Think about that. We don't have hand counts. We don't have a real audit. We don't have checks and balances within that system. We failed Eisenhower. He warned us. The military-industrial complex has absolutely taken power, and they have globalized.
For every old blackboard, there are now hundreds of new electronic computers. The prospect of domination of the nation's scholars by federal employment, project allocations, and the power of money is ever present.
And the power of money is ever present. He's telling you right here, these people want to quote-unquote buy the science. This is how they control the great narrative. And that is what the techno-fascism really is, right? It's the fact that these technologies, all right, are going to be managed in a way via this military-industrial complex where if you get people that dare speak out against it or try to run either counter or parallel programs, well, we'll just buy them out. We'll just buy them out. It's money. And we'll pick the winners and losers. We'll pick the Bezos of the world. And that's why this whole, you know, bullshiz about it's a privately traded company. Jeff Bezos didn't have to turn a profit via Amazon for a very long time. Try doing that as a small business. Try being Tesla, who wasn't turning a profit for a very long time and subsidized by the government. No, not going to happen for you. Try being YouTube, okay, that doesn't have to turn a profit. These are narrative control mechanisms.
And is gravely to be regarded. Yet in holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
No, that didn't happen. That hasn't happened. Trust the science. The science is settled. Trust the science. The science is settled on every major issue. In fact, you know, yesterday when I'm sitting driving to get my after show coffee, which I'll do after the show today, driving to get my after show coffee, I see one of those really big, like too big to be on your bumper, but it's on the back window stickers there. And I noticed the love is love thing. And then above love is love is science is real. You want to stop that car. You want to take that person out. What does it mean? Science is real. No kidding. Science is the study of nature in which you come up with a hypothesis. All right. And then you do experimentation that must be replicated again and again and again to what? Take a theory and make it proven scientific fact. I don't think there's anyone out there that has a second grade, forget about a fourth or fifth grade education, that doesn't believe that science is real. But again, we're in the post-COVID 1984 nightmare, where most people's brains are mush anyway, because this is America, okay? It's mush. It's Waffle House country, okay? And they're proud to put that on their car for all to see. When I see something like that, I know that the person who put that on their vehicle is ignorant to so much of what is going on in this country and around the world, period. They're gone, man. They're done. Put a fork in them. They're roasted. It's over. So, two more clips before we get to the population control. Just total eugenics from 1970. The Paul Ehrlich movie that we're going to go over. This is Ron Paul talking about the corruption within the FBI. And I believe it was with Trevor Loudon. And you can watch that. I think it aired yesterday. after this if you want to go check it out. You know, he was talking about the three-letter agencies and how the FBI is no good now, or the CIA is no good. They were never any good. They're never any good, especially the FBI. The FBI is just showing their true colors and what they were put together for. And it's expanded beyond the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, to these pseudo intelligence and military groups via signature reduction. You wanted Homeland Security? You got it. Hey, here's the thing. You know, we're going to talk about the border in a minute. But for me, you know, I mentioned that. And every time I say that Homeland Security shouldn't even exist, everybody goes, well, what about ICE? What about border security? What, you don't think we had border security back before 2001? Of course we did. I'm not saying get rid of border security. I'm saying get rid of Homeland Security, yet another bureaucracy that empowers these people to demonize American citizens as what? Terrorists. When you're a terrorist, you don't have the Constitution and Bill of Rights, okay? You don't have a First Amendment. No, you're not secure in your persons and properties. You're all set up for indefinite detention and military tribunals. You're an enemy of the state. You're Julian Assange, okay? And they'll sit there and go, Julian Assange is treasonous. He's not an American citizen. It would be impossible for Julian Assange, no matter what he did to this country, to commit treason, period. And again, I sit here and I watch, you know, a bunch of news. I've been watching Fox in particular this week, and I see Mike Baker on the Kennedy show on Fox Business. Okay, Mike Baker, oh, he's been on Joe Rogan. He's the cool CIA cat. He's the cool guy. And we covered the story here of Jack Murphy revealing and discussing the fact that the Central Intelligence Agency is on the ground in this Russian-Ukraine conflict and directing the warfare. No shit, Sherlock. All right? And no offense, I want more info. I'm glad Jack Murphy's talking about this. I'm glad it was picked up by the Daily Mail. And Mike Baker's like, well, you know, I don't know this Jack Murphy, and I'm not sure, but I certainly think that this could be fake. I mean, run and cover for the establishment again and again and again. And so many of the people in the mainstream media are still running cover, are still promoting this bullshit. Okay? And they didn't stand up to the hate and lies of the last few years. They didn't stand up to Big Pharma. They didn't stand up to Trump and Operation Warp Speed and Pompeo and Barr while it was happening. No, no, no. They sat back and relaxed. They might as well have been in a Waffle House fight. Period. So, you know, before I go to this clip of Ron Paul talking about the FBI way back in the day, Ron Paul looking dapper, almost looking like Rand, I wanted to show people this border story because it should tell you all you need to know. Revealed, Russians fleeing Putin's war are among the thousands at the U.S. border in Mexico. And the crazy thing is, it's really not that crazy. If you've been following geopolitics the last 5 to 10 years, the vast majority, at least what's being reported in the mainstream and what I'm seeing when there's on the ground reporters that are outside of Fox, et cetera, the independent people, they're sitting there and they're talking. They're not Mexicans crossing the border traditionally. No, the Mexicans in large part are staying in Mexico, which is on the verge of moving from a second world nation into a first world nation and has been. We don't really discuss that. Instead, you literally have people from Russia, yes, even the Ukraine, Afghanistan, somehow getting into South America somewhere, okay, and then coming up through the border. The administration continues to insist the southern border is not open. Clearly it is. Clearly it is wide open. Wide open. And I don't fault people for wanting to leave abject poverty somewhere else and try to create a better life. I could never do that. One of the things that I always talked about, even as a young man, when I was in my teens, and, you know, I was a poor kid. I was the kid, you know, we're on welfare, food stamps when they were there. I hated it. I knew very early on that that was the case. I know there's a lot of people who grow up in some kind of poverty and they're not aware. I was damn well aware. I was the kid at times that didn't have the cool shoes, right? That got picked on, that had to stand up for myself. And it built character, quite frankly. But I would always say, I go, listen, you know, I may be poor here. I am extremely lucky to live here, where poor means I'm in a home with electricity and heat. And even if the meal ain't that great, more than likely, I got a meal, you know, on the table, period. I'm not worried about starving. I'm not worried about cartels. I'm not worried about living in a favela. There's a lot of people out there. Like, if you're going to be poor and you're going to be born somewhere, not so bad to be born poor in the United States. I'm not going to sit here and play the victim. And there's so many people out there that, you know, you go to a school with, right? You grow up with, and there's a lot of, you know, fun things that you do as a young person, despite everything, right? You play sports. That's was a big part of my life. Playing baseball. I played soccer as well, a little bit of basketball, all that stuff. Baseball was my main sport. But you'll sit down at a bar, you know, during the holidays when you're going to visit, and you'll see somebody you graduated with, and you're in your mid-20s. This is a long time ago for me. And they'll sit there and goes, man, back in the day, boy, if I could only go back. And I go, I don't want to go back. I moved out of my house when I was 16 years old. People think that's a joke. No, I moved out at 16. Okay. I came back for my senior year. And, you know, something happened. I'm not going to get into all of it, but I moved out at 16. All right. I came back at 17. I graduated high school by 17. I went to my college orientation at 17. And then a month later, I was in college and I did everything I could never to come home. I liked being independent. I knew I was given an opportunity now where I could work, make money, pay bills, do what I want. I didn't learn the learned helplessness so many other people do, right? Little story about Jack and Diane. So many people want glory days. They want to go back to that time of high school and, man, everything was so much easier. No, it wasn't easier. Your parents just coddled you and didn't prepare you for the real world. And the real world kicked you in the ass when there wasn't a bunch of people cheering you because you could hit a baseball. Big deal. By the way, I loved baseball. I loved baseball. My senior year, we won sectionals. We were one game away from states. We went to regionals. I had a hell of a game. I had a hell of a season and series to the point where I actually got a plaque at the end of the year when I wasn't even a starter in the beginning of that season. But I worked hard, and I overcame, and it built character. And still, I never reflected, boy, I want to go back. Boy, I can't wait to go back. Everything was so much better. No, it wasn't. You were coddled. You weren't prepared for reality. What really feels good, in my opinion, is setting goals, okay, and then working towards those goals, and then achieving those goals. What really feels good, in my opinion, is reaching out to others that need help, and not just giving them help. All right, that's one thing, but helping them learn how they can help themselves. Giving them that one up where they can change the situation. What do I mean by that? Well, you can get into college, right? So now I'm 18 years old. I'm out of the house. I get my first job that's actually paying me money that I get a paycheck in. It's at the meal hall, all right? And that meal hall job, leads to a pizza gig, and I learn how to do pizza, and that leads to, you know, management positions and all these other things where I become much more independent. And sure, you could go that route and, hey, someone taught me those things. The computer lab, okay? I learned most of what you see here. You know, I do all my own graphics. I produce my show. I was talking to one of the producers the other day. You know, he gave me a compliment on my thumbnails. And I'm like, yeah, that was actually my first desk job. I was in the print game and I was doing graphics. I always thought I was going to end up being like a 3D animator. And I did. I learned certain 3D programs, but there's always limitations to where you go. So SUNY Oneonta didn't have somebody that could teach you Maya or 3D Studio Max. They had the software, right? But they had no programs where you could actually learn that stuff. So they were teaching a basic program called Bryce 3D. Like that's what they could afford the licenses on. Couldn't do a lot with Bryce, but it continually got better. And that's where I learned. But let me tell you something. I didn't learn it from the teachers in most cases. I learned it by going to the lab, sitting there, and learning it from other students. And I was always grateful for that. Other students would be there late night and they'd take the time to what? Empower me. Not just do it for me, but empower me. And then from there, I became a student teacher in the classroom. And it was always a great feeling to me when I could show somebody a trick in Photoshop, or I could show somebody the settings they needed that they could progress on their project. That's what feels good. That's what feels good. Not tearing people up, down, but lifting them up. I try it sometimes. I know my audience out there gets it. But there are so many people, again, that are in that Waffle House me, me, me mentality. They just can't do it. They can't do it. Okay? So, again, it's reality rants. We went on another big rant there. Let's let Ron Paul talk about the FBI.
You know, most of our history, we didn't have those institutions. The FBI came in during the First World War, and interestingly enough, the one thing that Woodrow Wilson did, he used the FBI to spy on American citizens and actually arrest them if they disagreed with his foreign policy about going to war in Europe. And isn't it interesting how recent they used it in the Vietnam era? Democrats used it there, and Republicans used the FBI to spy on 100 different groups in this country, including the churches, who disagree with the policy in Central America. It almost looks like the FBI was designed to spy on Americans who might be disagreeing with policy, especially the foreign policy. So the FBI, although I don't think I can condemn everything they've ever done, because I'm sure some of the investigations and investigation of crime has been beneficial, but that could be accomplished through Justice Department within our states. We wouldn't reject that portion of it. But I think the FBI has kept and continues to keep a lot of records on a lot of individuals. The CIA has only been here since 1947. Their record is lousy. I mean, just think of the CIA used by the Democratic administration to,
you know, not just the Democrats, but you look at the FBI. He mentioned Woodrow Wilson. There's an interesting quote from Woodrow. I didn't plan on playing it here today, but we're going to play it. Why not? We can do that. It's going to be tough because usually when I cue this up over here, and we'll do it live, when I do it right, Invisible Empire sits right at the top. So let's see. Let's see if we can't get Invisible Empire up here and get that quote from Wilson, because Wilson felt like he was used. And see, this is the craziest thing, man. I mean, look how this works. Look how shadow banned I am for myself. I'm signed in, all right, and I type in the title, Invisible Empire, all right, the movie. I wonder if I type in a New World Order to final come, and I can't even have it come up. Instead, Barbie's Big Brother from 12 years ago, a minute and 36 video is the first video that comes up. I mean, come on, give me a break. Let's do a New World Order defined. World Order defined. Can we get there? We go. There we go. I guess Invisible Empire just too tough indeed. So it's towards the beginning for sure. Let's see what we got here. Let's see. And basically he says there's a power so great that when somebody speaks about it, they dare not speak about it above their breath. All right, period. Because it is a power. Let's see. There's the carny. It's got to be coming up right here.
Since I entered politics, I have chiefly had men's views confided to me privately. Some of the biggest men in the United States in the field of commerce and manufacture are afraid of something. They know that there is a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that they better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it.
Oh. Oh, all the way back then. Been a long time coming. A long time coming. So now the question is, do we just go over news stories for the next 15 minutes and then do the case for population control with Paul Ehrlich on the premium side? We might have to do that because I do have a ton. And the Bella Thorne clip I wanted to play, okay, because we're talking about this is America and this is the culture. We've got a culture not only of vanity and one that is self-serving, but one that is so enticed and enthralled with celebritards, okay, that we give Holly Weird and the entertainment industry in general a pass on abusing children, especially when we talk about staples within children's entertainment via things like Nickelodeon and Disney. And disclaimer, warning, the whole nine is a minute long clip. Bella Thorne curses a lot in this. And Bella Thorne, I believe she, I'm not sure if she started her own porn company, but she directed pornography. A lot of people don't like her. She's put out Instagram posts where she's in scantily clad things. This is someone that was sexually abused a multitude of times for 8 years, I believe, from the time that she was, you know, I'm going to let her say, because before 10, let's just say that, before 10. And she says everybody around her knew it and no one did a damn thing. Not a damn thing. She's sitting there talking about her book where she reveals a lot of this in like a 25-minute interview. And the interviewer is worried about and asking her what it's like about, with the paparazzi, the old paparazzi. Ooh, the paparazzi following you. Was that stressful? She's like, who cares about the paparazzi? Hey, newsflash, I was being passed around as a kid. That's a bigger deal. Like, come on. And almost there were stories that picked it up. You didn't see it on the news. You didn't see a follow-up. You didn't see people sit down and say, hey, can you name some of these criminals? Hey, can we put some of these people in jail? Nope. Not even whisper mentioned. Insanity. Insanity.
But it is what it is. Like, it's like anything in my life. I mean, if you read the book, you'll be like, transitioning from Disney to this was fucking easy. I don't know. Getting molested for fucking from your 6 to your 14 seems like way harder circumstances, or being physically abused all the time seems like a much more difficult situation than fucking have paparazzi following you since you were 12.
Yeah, sure does. 6 to 14. 8 years in the Hollyweird system. Disney kids, let's bring it back. I'm gonna let her say it again. Wanted to sink in.
But it is what it is. Like, it's like anything in my life. I mean, if you read the book, you'll be like, transitioning from Disney to this was fucking easy. I don't know. Getting molested for fucking from your 6 to your 14 seems like way harder circumstances, or being physically abused all the time seems like a much more difficult situation than fucking have paparazzi following you since you were 12. I don't know. I was still being molested when paparazzi were still fucking following me. So it's pretty hard in my mind to think about these big flashlight photographs and everyone thinking they know me and talking about me, but having no idea the type of mistreatment that I was still dealing with at that time, that everyone around me saw and did nothing.
Everyone around me saw it and they did nothing. Nothing. Do you know how many people work on a Disney show? Do you understand you got to have light guys, grips, audio, line producers, first director, second director? Okay. You got to have security on the set. Everybody around me knew. Nobody did anything. Talked about Jennifer Lawrence Weinstein. All right. Did that this week. It should blow your mind. It should make you angry. It should make you angry. And I sit here and just now people are getting mad at Disney because they're slipping bullshit into their movies. And they are. It's not just that. It's everywhere. I watch, for instance, you know, I watched DC League of Super Pets. Really liked it. Thought it was awesome. Obviously geared towards children. Totally animated. Big names doing voices, such as The Rock and Kevin Hart, that seem to just be like the comedy duo team now. They're in a bunch of movies together. And you're sitting there in the beginning, and Superman and Lois Lane are at the park, and they got their dog Crypto and whole nine, and, you know, he's Clark Kent. And the dogs are talking, and one of the dogs starts discussing how their owner just got engaged, and they cut away, and it's a lesbian couple. Very subtle, but they did it on purpose. It's like, look, I understand that you're going to have the relationship with Lois Lane and Superman in the film, although that's not even the focus, right? When you talk about that relationship, it's more in regards to the dog feeling neglected. But nothing sexual about it. I don't need to see them, you know, embrace. I certainly don't need them any of that. But they have to slip that shit in now. I did a whole piece on the Thor Love and Thunder because it was so over the top. Sitting there talking about orgies in a kid's movie. Orgies? Hey, no, Russell Crowe. No. And here's the thing. That movie would have been no different if when the Russell Crowe / Zeus character is talking, instead of him saying orgies, he had said party. None. They want to get orgy in there. So your kid sits there and goes, Mom, what's an orgy? Dad, what's an orgy? And then the narrator character, who's voiced by the director, Taiki Wakatiti, or whatever his name is, all right, he's got two daddies. And not only does he got two daddies, and they're going to put that in the middle of it, but then later on, he's going to reproduce with another man who has a stereotypical Freddie Mercury-style gay mustache on him. That's okay? Now, again, if we're not a kid's movie, like right now, my wallpaper is Deadpool. Deadpool, he's a bisexual character in the comic books, and they allude to the same thing in the movies. It's an R-rated film. It's an R-rated, it's not set for kids. I can tell you that. I see. How about you guys? Is here? Did tease this morning, no big deal. New IRS data shows he met with he's the Bill Beck to push forward acting like he was going to run for president. Okay, and then the nursing bet they had the FEMA plastic coffin upside. It after the fact, he loves to sue. He'll get his money back. Over here, Finn, program, I do want to. First part that you catch the archive over at Bay. Get ready, and it really does help. Was it in hundred that to the premium end of the podcast. Talk to people about real issues such as transhumanists. That's where and else YouTube, you know how it gets. It gets helping to and we are good. I'll get some rumble. Okay. We are here and we are ready. And look, some of this may be a bore to people. I think that these things are. And they promoted it now. For a bird. As I've said, I worked and I come down on before with my body, my choice argument. Two people utter insulting and egregious that the man never has a say. And makes if the other person for the medical bill. Worried about. Sorry, that's how I feel about it. And look, every single time is when you start. Is again, I'm a preemie. I was born at. Was walking in another 7. That means 14 months rocking and you will never be able to. Get rid of a baby. That's murder. Not way. I love these 8. of being in a
you have the idea that it involves things like going out to dinner and sitting in a nice restaurant or beaches. What those pictures never show is what it takes to get you to the beach, or what it takes coming home from the beach, or locating.
Technical solution happen mind of the human. From Medcom Learning Systems. Bum, bum, bum.
No.
Have